The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
Can you help me, please? I've had a problem with my health for years and I can't get to the bottom of it. The doctors have run out of ideas.
I'd love to help. My name is Kevin Davis. Our bioresonance system starts with an automated full body scan. It's simply the quickest way to shine a light on what's going on inside, with treatments during the same session.
Right, can you book me in, please?
For the latest health tech at the best price, visit biohealthtech.co.uk today and make us your first choice for a healthier you.
If only I'd found out about you sooner, it would have made so much difference.
Hello and welcome to the 200th edition of the Yes to Life show. I'm Robin Daly, the host for the show and founder of the UK registered charity Yes to Life that helps people to understand the full range of choices for cancer care. 200 shows is a bit of a milestone and I'd like to take the opportunity to point out that all 200 shows are still available for you to listen to on the amazing UK Health Radio, the brainchild of brilliant Johan Ilgenfritz that's been broadcasting the show for almost 4 years. UK Health Radio's Listen on Demand service means there's an easily accessible back catalogue of material that you can search through either by scrolling down the Yes to Life show page or using the search field that's on the page, which will pick up particular guests or topics you might be interested in. My guest today is a very long-time supporter of Yes to Life and one of the contributors to our book, The Cancer Revolution. Janie Lee Grace is well known for her interest in all things non-toxic for homes, for people and for the environment, which she showcases on her imperfectlynatural.com website. She was the natural go-to person to write the section about toxins in the home for our book. While Janie's audience is far wider than just people who have cancer, detoxification of both the body and our environment is of key importance to anyone with cancer and something that many are very concerned with. With an ever-increasing proportion of cancers being ascribed to lifestyle factors, ignoring this topic makes less and less sense whether you have cancer, whether you're looking to avoid cancer, or to avoid a recurrence. I'm delighted that Janie's my guest today, as it's been a while since she was last on the show, and I want to catch up on developments in this rapidly evolving field. I'm talking to Janie at her home over Skype. Hi Janie, really great to have you back on the show again.
Oh, thank you. Lovely to be here.
So you were a bit of a pioneer in the early days of people beginning to consider what products they had in their homes, what they used on their bodies. Probably thought at the time by quite a few people to be a bit hippie stroke fringe, but things have changed majorly, both in terms of the market for non-toxic products and the growing awareness of the role of chemicals, particularly plastics recently, in degrading our environment and, of course, our health. So I imagine you're pleased with the way things are going, but I'm interested to know, do you still have major concerns, maybe about what is being overlooked or the rate of change?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, I wrote my first book 13 years ago, which is just seems incredible now, and right. I was joke about it and say it was before kale had its own publicist. You know, I was writing about it, kale and coconut oil. Yeah. I was a little bit ahead of my time, although clearly there was a following. You know, it was a number one Amazon bestseller, and I'm really grateful for that because it kind of kickstarted everything that I've been doing over the years. And yes, I mean the growth has been, I mean, massive. And I sometimes tell people that certainly in terms of let's say natural skincare, for example, and beauty products, there were literally 5 brands that had natural skincare, which just seems, or certainly natural cosmetics. There are a few more skincare ones, but in terms of cosmetics, there were literally 5. Right. And I had to really search to find those. And it's just incredible now, of course, the growth is immense. I can't really see any downsides in the growth other than, I mean, the awareness is, you know, is amazing. The only thing that still sort of frustrates me, even after all this time, is that people tend to go off on trends, if you like. So they follow, you know, at the moment it's very much the vegan trend. And, and that's absolutely fine, because if you've got a vegan skincare product that is also, you know, toxin-free and hopefully organic as well, then you're really onto a winner. But often those things can be overlooked. So people will focus on just the one element of it. So they'll focus on the eco credentials, for example, the packaging and, you know, whether it's recyclable, without looking at the actual synthetic, potentially toxic ingredients within. And similarly with the vegan products, you know, I've met lots of people who are championing vegan skincare, which, yes, it doesn't contain any animal products, and hopefully it's cruelty-free, so it wasn't tested on animals either. However, it still contains what I would consider potentially toxic ingredients, which, let's face it, apart from not being good for our own health, once they're flushed down into the rivers and the seas, are definitely going to cause harm to aquatic life, which, of course, is not what a vegan would want.
No.
So it really is following it through the whole chain. That's always my sort of argument, is you really do have to look at the holistic picture. You can't just take that one little label from the top of the packaging and think that that sorts out everything.
Well, that's a very good point. And I heard somebody who knows about this kind of thing talking recently about vegan junk food, which kind of sounds like an oxymoron in a certain kind of way, but it's actually true. Of course, a lot of things are getting through under the vegan banner, but they're just junk food, you know, nonetheless.
Absolutely. Totally. It's always been the case, I'm afraid, that, you know, being a vegetarian or vegan can be a very healthy option if you do it right, but it can also be extremely unhealthy. I mean, without any shadow of a doubt, you know, and a lot of the products that, you know, again, with these kinds of trends, what happens is the market then becomes flooded with products, because people, you know, the big producers sort of often say to themselves, oh, wow, we've got a whole new audience here that we can sell our stuff to. How great is that? And start producing a whole bunch of, you know, gluten-free, wheat-free, vegan, this, that, and the other. But actually, sometimes it's not even real food. It's just a whole load of old processed stuff that your body doesn't even recognize as a foodstuff, which is really, really not the way we should be going, in my opinion.
Right. And coming back to the cosmetics, just because I don't really know, it seems to me it's been an area in which the kind of exclusive end of the market has really just never really gone anywhere near the wholesomeness of their contents at all. It's not been particularly an issue at all. They just put whatever they put in there and nobody asks any questions. And the marketing is so expensive that you're supposed to just be washed away with it. Have they started to wake up to the need for natural cosmetics at all?
So you're talking about the kind of high-end beauty market? Well, yes, absolutely. You're absolutely right. You know, the big players have been for a long time, you know, really not the slightest bit interested in natural stuff, even products that are very easy, in inverted commas, to make completely natural and organic, you know, such as facial oils, those kind of products. You know, they don't require water, they don't require preservatives, so they're very easy to make natural. Even products like that, they haven't bothered. It's almost as if they've just got no regard at all. But fortunately, there is now competition within the natural market, and there are now some fantastic high-end ranges that totally give those guys a run for their money, which is really good news. And they're using all of the, you know, the important ingredients that are recognised as being great for anti-aging, things like hyaluronic acid and those kinds of ingredients. But they're effectively largely plant-based, and I've got some really luxurious, but excellent natural ingredients within them, and they're really high performance, and they're very effective. And so what I have heard recently is that the Soil Association, for example, who, you know, don't just accredit food, they also give an accreditation for cosmetics and skincare. They've seen a big rise in spending, even at the high end of the skincare and cosmetics market, from consumers who would not necessarily be looking for something natural. You know, they're not trying to solve any allergies. They're not that interested in saving the planet.
Right.
They just want the best stuff that really works. And thankfully, those kind of products are now available. I mean, brands like AEOS, for example, which stands for Active energized organic skincare. Right at the high end of the market, their products are expensive, but they're absolutely unbelievable. It's everything is from biodynamic farming. You can source back every single ingredient to their own farms. And it really is, active ingredients, absolutely 100% organic. So that's an example of an amazing high-end brand.
Well, that's very heartening because, of course, the rule in the past has been that as countries have got more money, they spent it on things that kill them. You know, if you look at the global map of cancer incidence, it's quite clear that the more money there is, the more cancer there is. So people are spending it on stuff that makes them ill. And, this kind of connection between high-end stuff and actually highly toxic stuff is kind of nuts in a way. So it's actually really wholesome to hear that if you're spending lots of money on something that's really good for you and really good for the planet, that is like quite a reversal and a very wholesome one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been saying it for a long time, but it's never been more true than it is now. And that is that, you know, there really is a natural alternative to absolutely everything.
Right.
I'm not suggesting that every single product is 100% organic, but it will have gone a long way towards it. And if you seek out brands that really care about this stuff, you know, look for the ones that make it really clear in their packaging that they don't contain, you know, a whole bunch of scary ingredients. Forget brands that just say natural on the front. It doesn't mean anything.
No.
You know, something that just says pure doesn't mean anything.
No.
Even the word organic might mean that they've included 0.2% of something organic in it, but then a whole load of other stuff. So I often say to people, look for what's not in the products. And the truth of it is now there is literally so much choice. There's a huge wealth of choice that consumers really can opt for, products that are not going to do harm to themselves or the environment. There really are all of those options available now. And the good news is they're available to suit all pockets as well, because not everyone wants the high-end stuff.
No.
And there are some fantastic, really good value ranges as well. And of course, I'm a big advocate of making a lot of it yourself. You know, there's quite a lot you can just whiz up in your kitchen.
Okay, great. So look, I want to look at a few different groups of products, at what the recent developments are, how the range of choices has progressed. We've already said quite a bit about cosmetics, but let's start there. I actually really find it pretty painful to sit down on the tube opposite a very nice looking 16-year-old girl who's got their face absolutely plastered with sort of all sorts of orange goop, you know, sort of cocktail of toxins.
Yeah.
That are both threatening her well-being and covering up her good looks. You know, it still happens a lot, this kind of thing. But do you think that's changing?
No, I don't think it's changing, unfortunately. I think, if anything, the younger generation love their makeup even more than we did. So I don't think that's changing, no. I think they, you know, it'll be an awful long time before they decide not to put it on with a trowel, as it were. But the good news is if they do choose to opt for natural ranges, they are out there. And that's the good news. And in fact, you know, the millennials are ahead of us in all of this. You know, they are leading the way in clean beauty. And there are some, you know, great beauty bloggers out there now. And a lot of millennials are looking to this stuff, which is why more and more of these clean brands are able to survive. You know, there's some great natural cosmetics brands. There are, more natural nail polishes. I can't say 100% natural nail polishes because nothing really falls off a tree. But certainly they're far less toxic than conventional nail polishes.
Right.
And then on to fragrance. You know, when you said sitting on the tube opposite someone, I thought you were going to say, you know, you're practically asphyxiated by the perfume. Which is the thing that drives me bonkers, you know, because artificial fragrance is in just about everything. And that is just so bad for us on so many levels. It's terrible for the environment, but it's terrible for our health. You know, anyone who's got respiratory problems, it's absolutely awful. It's really bad for immunity, bad for, anyone who might suffer from headaches or depression. It's just, I mean, that would be my number one thing if I could just wipe out those hideous artificial fragrances, I would. But sadly, that's not easy to do. But yeah, definitely Yeah, no, I don't think it's changing. I think women are going to lay on makeup just as much as they ever did, if not more. But yes, if they want to be selective in their choices, the ranges are out there now.
Well, that is heartening because, people want to use makeup, but it's knowing what's in those makeup products that I find really painful.
And I've got to be careful as well, on that note, I mean, there are brands who, like, so mineral makeup is a phrase that's been around for a while.
Yeah.
And mineral makeup is really, really good. So, for example, if you get a base powder, you know, the thing you would sort of put across your face to slightly change the colour of your complexion.
Yeah.
For example, or a blusher, it's a powdered product. And the mineral powders are often excellent products. They're often organic. It's easy for them to be organic.
Yeah.
So they're completely natural. They might be certified organic, and they have a natural SPF factor. So that's really cool for being in sunlight as well. It's not going to be aging for your skin.
Right.
However, there are some companies, not naming any names, who sell these really great mineral powders, but they also sell a range of other stuff, you know, lipsticks, eye creams or whatever, eye pencils, which do still contain all the same toxins. But one thinks that, that's that brand that sells the mineral makeup, and they pitch all their marketing around that. So one assumes that all of their products are natural, and that's absolutely not the case. So you've really got to be on it to really look at what the brand's, you know, what the message of the brand is. It's all in the marketing, and there are some, you know, some high street stores. Again, I won't mention any names, but, you know, there are some brands that pop up occasionally on the high street that are beautifully got up for the eye, mm-hmm. as if everything they're doing is 100% natural, and actually almost nothing they're doing is natural.
Mm.
Aside from maybe, you know, some of their products are in recycled packaging, which is great for the environment, but as I say, it's not very good for our bodies.
No. All right, so you can't afford to be complacent is the general picture.
Absolutely, you really can't. You really can't.
Mm. Okay, so let's move on to personal care products. So this is the whole family. Everybody uses these things, you know, for washing, for various kinds of skincare and what have you. How much of this market is becoming more wholesome, and how much is it just greenwashing? What's happening out there?
Mm. Well, I think if you're talking about sort of you know, soaps and shower gels, deodorants, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge choice, and there's some fantastic products to suit all budgets. I mean, that's one area that I really don't think anybody needs to use a conventional shower gel or deodorant anymore. It's just so not necessary. There's just so many amazing ranges and deodorants. You know, you've got everything from little stick deodorants, like a little crystal, if you like, through to sprays, through to roll-ons. There's every choice imaginable. Just recently at the National Organic Products Show, I came across a brand that I hadn't seen before for men, aimed specifically at men, and they're huge in the US.
Yeah.
And the packaging is such that, you know, I mean, I've got three teenage sons, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, they don't want anything that mum recommends, particularly if it looks like it might be natural. but this packaging is fantastic. And apparently, the boys tell me, it's great stuff. That they're called Everyman Jack.
Okay.
And they're just making their way into the UK.
Okay.
And they're very affordable. And they look great, funky packaging. So if you're the kind of person that you don't want it to look as though you're using a natural product for whatever reason, perhaps because you're 15 or whatever, this one ticks every box, you know?
Yeah.
So even for men's products, there is an absolutely massive choice. Soaps, there is loads of great liquid soaps, loads of beeswax type soaps or shea butter. Huge range, and I really don't think that's an area that anybody should opt for the conventional approach on, because there are only a few quid more. You know, some of them are a little bit more expensive, but not a lot.
Okay, so here I am walking in to buy my men's care product, and I pick up something off the shelf. What should ring the alarm bells?
Well, number one, if you're in a conventional supermarket or you know, high street chemist, I wouldn't even bother unless you've done your research before you go in.
Right.
Because almost everything you pick up will not be right.
Okay.
So that's the first problem with all of this, is that even though we've been discussing this incredible wealth of choice, there still isn't the availability on the high street. So there are a few things becoming available on the high street, and that brand I just mentioned, Everyman Jack, are hopefully just about to go into Sainsbury's. So right. That's incredible. Yeah. But you would need to know that and go looking for them, mm-hmm. because they'll be the only brand in there, probably, or one of only two. So really, I would say the important thing is to do your research before you go shopping.
Okay.
And there will be some things you can pick up on the high street, and there'll be some things that, unfortunately, it just is easier just to get online at this point in time, unless, of course, you're lucky enough to live near Plants Organic or Whole Foods or one of the really big stores that have a huge selection where everything is natural. If you're lucky enough to be able to go in there, no problem. But if you're in a conventional high street chemist or a supermarket, then I wouldn't go in and pick up anything unless you've researched it first.
Okay. And my kind of mode of operating, we're getting personal here, would be that if I'm feeling like I haven't got all the time in the world to go looking around for the best of this product and that product, I actually just do enough research to find a brand that I actually trust and will go for their products. You would agree with that principle?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there are some brands that you just know that you know their ethos, and you absolutely know that the products they bring out are all going to, you know, to pass muster, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and some of the brands that have been around for a long time, brands like Weleda, which most people know about, you know, affordable, great products. They've got a huge range of products. They are in some. Certainly in some health food stores, independent health stores. Brands like Green People have been around a long time.
Yeah.
Again, they've got a men's range as well as all their other stuff. They've got a great hand cream. They've got great facial oils. Nilshard Remedies are one of the few that are on the high street, mm-hmm. and their products are excellent. And then, you know, you've got slightly higher end products. So for hair care, you've got brands like Tabitha James Cran. And with these kinds of brands, and I could name loads and loads more, you know that absolutely everything they produce is going to be absolutely, you know, the best they can get it at this point. A lot of them have got some kind of organic certification, whether that's EcoCert or Natru or Soil Association. There's a few different accreditations. But basically, if a brand is taken the trouble to jump through the hoops, as it were,
yes.
to get certification, you know they're good.
Yeah.
You know, you really know they're good. As we come into summer, you know, anybody wants insect repellent, you can't beat Incognito. Such a fantastic brand that changed my life when I found that product. So I used
really?
To get really, really badly bitten, really badly bitten wherever I went. And Incognito is a completely natural insect repellent. They also do a sun cream, and they do a deodorant as well. Amazing brand, and they have done really well and managed to get into some of the high street shops. So I'm pretty sure you can get them in Waitrose and Sainsbury's, I think, definitely Holland and Barrett. So they've worked really hard to make themselves available in some high street stores.
Mm. Yeah, it's very good to see that happening. I mean, I'm a huge Weleda fan. I've been up there and seen them making the stuff, and it you know.
Yeah, I know, it's wonderful, isn't it?
I know, it's
good.
I
love their biodynamic garden. It's just amazing.
Yeah, no, I love it. But, you know, it's really great to see them in a local supermarket. So they are
absolutely.
Making inroads all over the place. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So maybe we can move on to the realm of what we buy for our homes now. Do you think it's becoming easier to buy non-toxic products for your home? So say we start off with the cleaning aspect.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, this is something I've been writing about for a long time. I don't think the market has grown as quickly as the personal care products market.
Mm-hmm.
But there is, you know, there is some growth, there is some movement on it. There's a few brands that I've found recently. There's one called New Eco, that's spelled N-U-E-C-O, New Eco.
Yeah.
And they've got a great range of very affordable household cleaning products. They've got a fantastic laundry bleach. So if you want, you know, your clothes to, you know, your kind of white clothes to come up a bit whiter, you don't want to use regular bleach. This is, you know, as near as you can get to something completely natural.
Mm.
So they've got a whole range. There's another brand called Nimble, which their USP is all based around making it child friendly, so it's gentle enough to use on babies' clothes and baby's high chair and that kind of thing. And I think that those kind of brands are just really, really important, because I always used to say when my kids were small, you know, I don't want to have to put one of those child locks. You know, you buy those child locks and you put it on the cupboard. But,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't want to need a child lock. I want to have stuff in the cupboard that, you know, were the child to pick it up and accidentally have a taste of it. You know, let's hope they don't. It's not going to be very nice, but right. It certainly isn't going to be harmful. You know,
yeah.
So, I mean, the bottom line is, don't bring anything into your home that has that scary kind of skull and crossbones logo on the back.
Right.
You know, that basically means if you ingest it, for God's sake, call the cavalry immediately. Mm. Well, here's my suggestion. Don't bring that into your home.
Mm.
You have absolutely no need for any of it ever.
Right.
You know, so I think the good news is, as I say, there are options available. I mean, you know, the New Eco, the brand I mentioned, even do a kind of drain cleaner. You know, they've got some real kind of high-powered products there.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, there's companies like Kova that have been around for a long time, and Bio-D. There's also, for laundry, there are things like laundry balls, which are really great for doing the laundry, incredibly cheap way of doing the laundry,
mm-hmm.
particularly for kind of general coloured washing that all just needs a refresh, you know. I mean, I always say treat stains first before you put things in a washing machine anyway. I think it's a little bit hopeful to put something in that's got a load of food stains over it and just give it one wash with a natural detergent and hope it all comes out good. I think the kind of missing ingredient with all of this is always the elbow grease, really.
Right.
None of us like putting any effort in.
No.
We like to kind of run into the loo, spray something and run out again.
Right.
Whereas actually, so if you get your rubber gloves on and scrub it a little bit, then that's very good for your fitness levels and probably much better for the actual loo.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you know, certainly when I was an active parent, you know, there wasn't even a thought of a choice in any kind of cleaning products. They were all toxic chemicals, and that was that. And so it's interesting that they've appeared on the market, and along with it, I've had to sort of accommodate, if you like, the fact that this actually matters. You know, when you've grown up with stuff which you've got been used to, you have a kind of complacent attitude towards it, that it's safe just because you know it. Gradually, I've become educated, and of course, I wouldn't touch any of this stuff, and I never have it in my home. And I think this is something you pointed to, the fact that people have become more aware in the area of things they actually put straight onto their bodies as that kind of product.
Yeah.
But it's one step removed to start thinking about what you're putting on your home. But it, of course, this is just as important, and it affects the whole atmosphere that you're breathing, you know, the what you're absorbing through your skin everywhere. It's really important stuff, but it takes a bit of a leap, doesn't it, to embrace that and to really get the importance of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, for some people, interestingly enough, it's where they start, you know. Sometimes people kind of come to this way of thinking because of an illness or because of allergies.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, often one of the first things they think about, well, they do often think of their skincare, but then they very quickly realize, well, if I'm spraying, you know, conventional air freshener around my home, you know, that is without any shadow of a doubt going to lead to more headaches. You know, I often sort of think about a baby and like a newborn baby, and then you might sort of work backwards and say, well, why has the baby got a breakout, a rash or whatever, or irritated skin? And so if you look at, well, okay, let's assume the baby's on breast milk and there's no allergies or whatever, what's next? So it's nothing that's going in nutritionally that's causing the problem. Okay, so what are you putting on the baby's skin? That's the next thing to think about. And people might say, well, okay, I'm being really, really good. I've only put a little bit of coconut oil on baby's skin. Okay, great. So it's not that. So what else could it be? Well, what are you washing their clothes in? right. I mean, because a residue of whatever your laundry detergent you're using is going to end up on their clothing. So then they might say, okay, well, I've sorted that out. Then it's a case of, well, are you leaning over them to change their nappy or whatever? You know, wearing a heavy perfume.
Right.
Or body spray, because if you are, they're going to be inhaling that, you know?
Mm.
And then finally, the kind of last bit of the picture, if you like, is the water that we use. And this is something that most of us don't even think about, but actually we've got, certainly here in the southeast, we've got incredibly hard water, and it's chock full of chlorine. I mean, of course, not the same amount as if you go swimming, but an awful lot of chlorine. And we forget that chlorine is actually really, really drying for our skin, and it's really bad for anyone with respiratory problems. So a very simple fix is to just get a dechlorination filter. And you can buy them to fit, to sort of hang like a ball from the taps of the bath. Or if you're a shower person, you can get a filter that fits just kind of between the, well, between the two bits of the shower, as it were.
Yeah.
And they're not expensive. They're in the region of, I don't know, 40, 50 quid, but they probably last you a year. And they remove all the chlorine. Absolutely amazing. So they make the water feel soft and they get rid of that. Well, I mean, I say chlorine smell. Most of us don't notice it, actually. You don't really notice that smell, but trust me, it's there. So that's a really good tip for anyone with sensitive or irritated skin. If you feel you've tried everything else, you know, I would say invest in a dechlorination filter because that might be the missing link.
All right. Can we move on to talk about the other things that go into your home? You know, increasingly during the course of the 20th century, furniture, just all kinds of furnishings just became more and more and more toxic as more chemicals were added to them, and they just were all of them exuding toxins into our homes. Do you think the tide has turned on this, or is this still a major problem?
I think this is a huge problem. I mean, I think we have a bit more choice available to us now, and people are opting for things like jute flooring and these kind of furnishings. And of course, some people are lucky enough to be able to move into an eco home or refurnish their own home. But for many of us, you know, it is a problem. We're kind of stuck with this. And all we can do is kind of minimize it a little bit with our buying choices. I mean, the truth of it is, if you buy any new furniture in this country, you do not have an option. It has to have been sprayed in a fire retardant, you know, spray, which is, you know, hideous.
Right.
But what can you do? It's absolutely the law. You know, even charity shops are not allowed to sell items that aren't that, you know, many of them. So, and, you know, the best way is, if you really want to be eco, is buy vintage stuff, you know, buy really, you know, squishy old furniture that hasn't been sprayed. But once you want something new, I'm afraid the game's up, really. It just is the way it is. Now, when it comes to things like mattresses, you have a little bit of choice. Of course, we spend a lot of our time asleep. Unfortunately, there are now some mattress companies that have really thought about what their mattresses made from. So there are now some Koya mattresses, you know, nice, there's mattresses filled with hemp. There's all kinds of fillings now that become available, and you know, sort of not toxic materials used. So I think that's something where we can look, you know, can sort of make our choices. I mean, I always just say, look, just depending on what it is you're buying, have a look at what the eco options are, because, you know, you can get some fabrics that are recycled. You know, there are places that sell cushions made from recycled fabric. You know, there's always an option, apart from things like, as I say, furniture and white goods. I mean, all you can do with things like white goods is look for the efficiency in terms of the environment. There's not a lot else you can do. There's definitely a movement on the plastics front, though. That is really good news. I mean, you know, I should be well aware, more and more of us are ditching, not just the plastics in packaging and stuff, but we're ditching our the paper cups, and we're taking reusable cups out and those kind of things, plastic bags, obviously. So I think there has been a huge movement in that. I mean, I think we all have to do a massive old hats off to David Attenborough, because, you know, he really did sway the nation there, I think. So even the most hardened kind of plastic lover, I think, does think twice now about buying yet another load of plastic containers, and the range available now to replace it is fantastic. I the other day I just got this fantastic range of stainless steel sandwich boxes, you know, and then of course lots of people use those beeswax wraps that kind of wrap around the product, so you don't have to buy cling film. So little things like that, there's definitely more availability, which is great news.
Okay, you're quite an advocate of health promoting foods as well. We could easily do a whole show about food. It's a big, big topic, but it's a very rapidly developing field that looks entirely different now to even a few years ago. I'd just like to hear your feeling about where things are going with food. Do you think overall, I mean, obviously there's much more choice. Overall, do you think the choices that consumers are making are having an effect on big food, you know, what most people are eating?
I don't know. That's a difficult one, actually. I actually really don't know. Sometimes when you're so sort of close to a world and a certain group of people, it can be hard to see. Sadly, I don't know that it is making that much difference. I mean, we constantly read about obesity rates and illness across so many levels. I don't know. The honest truth is, Robin, I actually don't know about that. I mean, I'm really pleased that the choice is changing. But as we started this conversation, it does all come down to marketing. And when you get the big boys, you know, kind of jumping on a bandwagon, I don't know that it's always great. Mm-hmm. You know, when big food, as we call it, or big pharma decide that the vegan market is a great idea, then, as you say, they bring out versions of NAFT products, and they shove in something that, yeah, it isn't meat, but it isn't real food either. Mm. It's a whole load of processed nonsense that your body literally doesn't recognize as food. Mm. So I don't really see that as progress, actually. I think the best progress has been in the rise of things like farmers markets,
mm-hmm.
and fruit and veg delivery schemes and local community buying. Yes. I think that's where the answer lies, actually, in it not becoming bigger, but in it becoming smaller, if you see what I mean. So that all of us look to our own local sustainability rather than constantly expecting our supermarkets to stock yet another range of organic bread. I mean, why? Let's just have a local bakery who does a proper sourdough loaf,
right,
from scratch,
right,
and a fruit and veg stall where it's as much as possible is, if it's not organic, at least it's locally grown. Mm. You know, support. I mean, there's been a big rise in farm shops. That's something that I think has changed massively, and that is fantastic. I mean, I'm lucky enough to have a farm shop near me where they have incredible raw milk. And right. I mean, that's life changing,
yeah,
to be able to get that on your doorstep. And I think that's the answer. And I think many towns now across the UK have got a farmer's market, and they've got little options of buying locally grown stuff. And I think the answer is keep it small rather than try and widen it out and buy the big stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. Yeah. So this is a bit of a big one now, right? But just if you've got some thoughts about this, I'd be interested. Let's take the plastics issue, for instance. It's a good 50 yeah. years since the problems to do with plastic, 40 to 50 years, were first identified. And plenty of people have been campaigning hard on the matter of plastics ever since then. And it's taken until we've virtually saturated the planet in the stuff before something tips the public consciousness, in this case, Mr. Attenborough, and the tide starts to turn. Now, in that time, of course, an immense amount of damage has been done. And, you know, I've noticed that this is the pattern. Half a century is the standard length of time, basically. You know, if you look at when asbestos was first identified to cause cancer, it took 50 years before it was outlawed. And in that time, every school, hospital, yeah. home, you know, they were all filled up with asbestos. And the toll of death that's still, you know, rolling on from that is massive, the suffering. And already, once that tragedy has been is being brought to an end, if you like, it's being slowed down, the next one is already busy causing another half a century of damage. So it's a cycle that yeah. I don't think we can afford anymore. You know, we never could, but, you know, it's literally, there's so many of these 50-year cycles of things that are destroying us going on, that and we're, people are working away, working away, working away, and it takes 50 years to stop it, that, well, we can't afford that anymore. So Have you got any thoughts about how this whole arena could change so that this cycle no longer happens?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as you say, it's one of those massive questions. And unfortunately, you know, I can't get my head around a picture that is just as big as that, really. I just find it very, very difficult because I just can't come out with phrases that are sort of a sticking plaster on an ocean, really. I just don't think it's possible. I genuinely believe that we can only do the bits we can do. But I do think that small change, big difference is where it lies.
Right.
And I think the more people, the more awareness that is raised and the more people that do their own little bit, over time, it will make a difference. I mean, you're absolutely right. Who knows whether it's going to be half a century? God forbid. I really don't know. But I think all you can do is get on and change the consciousness. And as we've already alluded to, you know, with the plastics thing, a huge percentage of people have finally got it. The light has come on.
Mm.
The light bulb switched on. And so many people who just didn't get it before, you know, saw that little yellow duck floating on the sea and they suddenly got it.
Mm.
And that's what we need. We just need more awareness of this because, you know, without doubt, when there are these trends, the big boys listen. They don't always get it right in their response, but they listen.
Well, if we all
voted with our feet, you know, and started, you know, just kind of walking away from these, all of this highly processed stuff and taking a bit more responsibility for our own health and well-being,
mm-hmm.
You know, a big farmer would notice that, I think. I'm sorry, it's probably not the answer you want, but I don't really have one. I honestly think all we can really do is start with ourselves and do the best we can.
Mm, I think it's a very good answer. Thank you. So, look, I'd like to bring it right back now to ask you a question about your own personal choices, if you don't mind.
Mm.
Obviously, you've been making lots of choices for none or low toxicity products for years. But what have you started to get just recently, either because it's new or because it's new to you?
Yeah. Gosh, I mean, I you know, as you know, I that's kind of what I do for a living, really, is kind of just make it my business to try and source everything. So it's very difficult for me to pinpoint you know, any one thing or even any one brand. Certainly, as we've already mentioned, I've been using the beeswax wraps for my food, and that's made a massive difference to me. And that's only been in the last few months, so I'm loving that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I no longer have to buy cling film. And that's a fantastic one. I've been buying bowls that are made from bamboo, and they're really lovely. So I don't have, you know, I've managed to kind of get rid of a lot of that plastic. In terms of the kind of personal care products, I mean, I'm always inundated with incredible new brands. One brand that I, you know, we've been talking about the trend in the vegan thing. A company called Better You have got a vegan oral spray, which is a fantastic supplement because I meet a lot of people who have chosen to be vegan and they are doing it really well, but they still know they need that little bit of supplementation. So opt for one that is a brand who really care about, you know, what the ingredients they put in their stuff, because that's something we haven't really spoken about. But within the kind of supplements market, therein lies another problem, because, you know, so many vitamins and supplements are chock full of horrible stuff, artificial sweeteners and fillers and God knows what.
It's weird. And
you know, you really don't need to do that. You know, you really do need a brand of supplements, particularly if your health or your immunity is compromised. It's so important to look for really, really high quality, decent supplements where the brand have really thought it through. So, you know, that's another area that I've been looking into recently. I'm really into my things like Dead Sea Salt at the moment for bathing. I really love things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the same company that I recommend, that I mentioned, Better You, do a magnesium spray. So one of my sons is a gym bunny, so he's kind of, you know, always got sore muscles, and magnesium spray is amazing for that. So, you know, I kind of pride myself on finding, you know, all kinds of innovative products. And basically, if you ask me, you know, tell me what you need, I'll probably give you a recommendation.
Right,
but it's hard for me to pick out just a handful, really.
Okay, sure. Okay, so for the last few years, you've been running your own award scheme, a great way of driving awareness of good practice and new ideas. Do you want to say a little bit more about it?
Yeah, I mean, the Janie Loves Awards started really because we just wanted to kind of give recognition to some of the brands out there, some of the smaller brands was how it started. And the real aim of my awards, I mean, there are quite a few awards programs, and it's great when for a brand when their product wins an award and they've got a lovely, you know, sticker to put on their product and all of that, and that's great. But the aim with my awards is a little bit different. I genuinely want to be able to recognize and showcase as many of these natural products as it's possible to do. So it's really for me about raising awareness and trying to promote them and put my little kind of take on it, a little review here and there, whatever it is. So the brands that enter my awards, you know, hopefully they won't enter unless they are natural, because that's the criteria. Right. They don't have to be 100% organic by any means, but they do have to be natural and have ethical credentials. And then basically from that, the moment they enter, they're on my radar and I'm going to check them out and I'm going to look at them. And I've got some fantastic judges such as Zoe Ball and Cary Grant and Glynis Barber and Claire Everie, the little London vegan. So we've got some amazing influencers there who are also going to get their hands on these lovely products. And the whole idea is that kind of everybody wins because, you know, even people like you, as you say, you've been in this kind of world for a long time, mm-hmm. but you're still not exactly sure which deodorant to buy, are you, or which shower gel or whatever it is. So hopefully we can raise awareness and bring people much more choice, whether that's one of the bigger brands like Weledra, as I've already mentioned, or AEOS, or a tiny brand. You know, last year I had an entry from a brand called Nature's Wish, and it's one woman who is an aromatherapist, and because she was working with clients, she suddenly thought, you know, I've been creating oils for my clients. Why don't I, you know, produce this and sell it? And it's a gorgeous product. You know, the Nature's Wish facial oil is just absolutely beautiful. Mm. So, you know, tiny little companies, it might be one person at their kitchen table making something because it's worked for them, or it might be a big brand. And it's not just skincare and beauty products. We also have a category for home and garden. So it might be candles that are, made from non-petroleum based candles, as well as cleaning products and air freshening products. And then we have mother and baby categories. That's, you know, again, hugely important for pregnancy and mum and baby. And then in addition, just because people put pressure on us really and said, actually, we want you to focus on therapists and coaches. So we have a category for therapists and coaches too. Mm-hmm. And even books, because again, there's a lot of authors out there who have made it their life's work, like I did all those years ago,
right,
to write about something that really matters to them in health and well-being or spirituality. So we have a category for authors. So it really is a bit of everything. Mm-hmm. It's a huge amount of work, but we love doing it. We do it every year, and I spend a kind of full 6 months just trying to raise awareness for as many of these brands as I possibly can. And we invite people to vote as well. So you can vote, you can nominate your favourite brand. Even if they haven't entered, it doesn't matter. We'll gather the nominations and they go into the mix. And then we offer a really nice surprise of loads of organic products to like a prize draw, you know, for people who have nominated products. So, so there's a lot going on. It's a really nice opportunity for brands to have some awareness around their products.
All right, brilliant. All right, well, look, we're going to wrap it up now, but I want to take the opportunity to say that you've been a brilliant supporter of Yes to Life over the year. So a big personal thank you to you for this. And I also want to let the listeners know that we're working behind the scenes on a new scheme of yours to benefit Yes to Life, which is scheduled to start in the early summer on our new website. So, of course, I'm very pleased about this. Yeah. And I want to thank you again for being so supportive of our efforts.
No, well, I think the work that you do is amazing. And I mean, I came across your charity when my book was a kind of number one Amazon bestseller and the website was doing really well. I was one of the few people back then that was doing anything in this arena.
Right.
And at the time we had, I can't remember what we were doing, but we had something that was bringing in money. And I wanted to be able to buy something or encourage my followers, if you like, and the people who were buying the book and looking at the website, to buy something or to raise money for something. And the really interesting thing was, despite really researching a lot of charities, I couldn't find a single charity that whose ethics I really felt reflected what we were doing. So it was incredible to find Yes to Life, and obviously I've known about the work you've been doing now for many years, and I just think you're an absolutely amazing charity. And this little project that we're gonna be launching on your website is going to be fantastic, because I think people do want these recommendations. I mean, it's all very well me giving this generic picture, but ultimately, if someone's listening and you know they have been diagnosed with cancer or a family member with cancer, there's probably something niggling away at them saying, you know, I know I shouldn't be using, you know, a toxic deodorant, and but which one do I buy?
So, right.
You know, they're going to be able to look to the things that have been showcased by you. And of course, that doesn't mean that you're able to give a personal recommendation to every single thing. But between us, we can highlight and showcase, you know, some of the brands that really do care about this stuff.
Great. All right. We'll have to finish there, Jenny. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks for coming on the show.
No worries. Thank you. It's been great to be here.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
As Jenny was keen to stress, shopping for genuinely safe and wholesome products is a minefield, and we can all use some help in making the best choices, so her efforts are a great resource for us all. Please look for links to Jenny's website, imperfectlynatural.com, and other resources mentioned in the show on the Yes to Life website. That's yestolife.org.uk. Click the show logo that's on the homepage. It's less than 2 weeks to our Wellness Day in Manchester. This is set to be the most brilliant day, led by top specialists. We have Claire McCluskey, mindfulness expert, Sylvia Grisendi, nutritionist, Lizzie Davis, exercise specialist, and Liz Butler, nutritionist and coach. Be sure to book your place either via the Yes to Life Facebook page or from the events section of the Yes to Life website. Again, that's yestolife.org.uk. Thanks for joining me for our 200th show. Please do listen again next week if you can. Goodbye.